Guys, we are back here once again without the great Sonny Joy Nelson. So joined again by Kalen Doerr. Hogan, welcoming Kalen. Have you guys talked to Sonny recently?
No. I have.
Yeah.
We haven't texted or anything.
Yeah. Hurricane Isaiah hit her pretty hard.
Hurricane Isaiah, yeah. That's the name. She's out on, I guess you would call this podcast maternity leave. I was texting with her today. She says that Isaiah is still not taking to the bottle. Which, you know, can't create a problem. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're going to talk about some politics and news of the day. Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, COVID, the whole bit. And there's a lot to it because this is the Line Drive Podcast. Okay, so there's a lot of talk, mostly among Democrat circles, and it makes the media giddy. This idea that some people have floated about the 14th Amendment and how Democrats say that they can use that to disqualify Donald Trump from the ballot in a lot of states. And it's the 14th Amendment and the key part of it, what they're hanging their hat to. It's a disqualification clause here about how no person should be a senator or representative in Congress or an elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature, and blah, 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 shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid and comfort to the enemies thereof. So they're saying, because of the riot at the Capitol on January 6th, that qualifies as an insurrection or a rebellion, and therefore Donald Trump, who, by the way, did not take part in a riot at the Capitol, is hereby disqualified from office. What I don't think this I mean, this ship can't sail. I don't think. I'm no constitutional scholar, but I can't see how you can say that a guy is guilty of this when he's never even been charged with such a thing. But they're going to try it anyway. What say you, Hogan?
Yeah, I think they are going to. And I wouldn't be surprised if a state like California actually did it. I think obviously this breaks all precedent, breaks all norm. And if we're going to get into just pulling people off ballots we don't like, then Republicans better gear up and prepare to start ripping Biden off these ballots in a lot of these states too. I don't think that's the way we should be going here, but it's insane. You just said insurrection is an actual thing. It's a charge you can levy against someone. You can bring it in a court of law, and there's certain punishments that are associated with that particular charge of insurrection. And I mean, Donald Trump is not charged with insurrection, not to mention the fact that if we're going to start playing this out and be fair about it, if you're going to question the outcome of elections, I mean, we've documented on the podcast before how many times Democrats, from Schumer to Pelosi to Hillary Clinton to Val Demings to Sheila Jackson Lee to
Stacey Abrams.
Stacey Abrams, and who was that? Terry McAuliffe. I mean, just this past election, he said, boy, I wish they would have counted all those votes in Florida in 2000. I mean, they've done it every single time. They're the only ones that have refused to seat electors in every presidential election a Republican has won since Reagan, and somehow Donald Trump for questioning it when we had a complete systematic change in the way we conduct elections just weeks, days before you started counting ballots. I'm sorry. I think you could ask some questions about that, especially with what we saw pouring in evidence-wise. But again, not about overturning anything here. Just the fact is, obviously, Donald Trump felt as though he won that election. J6 happened. Some people did some stupid things. They went into that building and violated some laws, and those people should be in trouble. But at the same time, it's insane to try and say Donald Trump coordinated some insurrection of the government, which is ridiculous on its face, and then try and take him off the ballot because of it. I do think, though, as I said at the outset, there'll be some states, some radical leftist blue states who really go down this road a long way. And we'll just have to see if anyone with sanity, anyone with a legal background or rationale or reason can stop it.
Kalen, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, what we're looking at, we're at the forefront of what I'd call it the lawfare movement, right? This is something that kind of removes any and all emotion, any and all logic from the situation. And, you know, it's basically lawyers versus lawyers. Who's got the better lawyers? It's not how it should be, right? It should be, you know, who gets the most votes and, you know, so on and so forth. That's kind of how our system is set up. And I think ultimately, you know, attacking the problem, if you're them, attacking the problem in this manner is going to backfire in the long term, if only because, you know, people don't like feeling like they're being left out of this kind of thing. And that's exactly what it is. I don't feel right. Like, you know, this is representative of what the American people want, no matter what it is. And it used to be, man, that, you know, we come back to our country being a marketplace of ideas. At one point, it used to be we could all argue and disagree on something and us leave without calling each other racists or bigots, or the best ideas, or the best candidates would win. And we're so far away from that at this moment. I don't really know what happens. If anything, this is going to be a kind of a bold take, and people are going to say, you know, I'm kind of being kind of a shit stir, for lack of a better phrase, but like, this is the opposite of what you want to do if you want to quell future insurrection, right? Like, removing the people's voice from the conversation isn't going to help whatever problem they're trying to address here. And I think that is what's very important as we look at this issue.
Yeah, that's what stands out to me the most. I mean, the legal arguments aside, and whether or not the idea even holds water, is very important. But you're exactly right. I mean, here what they're talking about doing is striking from the ballot the candidate who is, if you believe all of the polls, and I don't mean just cherry pick a couple, I mean all of them, any poll you want to point to, Donald Trump is the guy who has the support of more than half of one of the two parties in this country. In the 50s, you know, 52%, 54%, whatever the poll might be, more than 50% of Republicans support this guy. And Democrats are actively saying, you know what, we're just going to take him off the ballot. I mean, this they didn't learn anything from 2016. The way that they dismiss conservatives and the Republican base in this country, Hillary Clinton, she experienced it, but I don't think anybody learned a lesson from it, talking about the deplorables. So if you can't attack the deplorables, you're going to try to prevent them from being able to vote for the candidate that they want to by taking him off the ballot. I don't want to hear a single word out of another Democrat about healing the divide in this country when they take a plan like this and take it seriously.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
To dial it back even further, Tim, I mean, it's almost like they think so little of people like you and I, or people who would vote for Donald Trump, that they're just kind of doing this out in the open. Like it used to be, like you do your shady stuff under the table. Now it's like, nah, you're too stupid. They won't figure it out. It doesn't matter. Just do it anyway. It's kind of like you telling your kid what they need to eat for dinner, slapping candy out of their hand before they eat it, right?
Yeah, while you're eating Jolly Ranchers. Look, also, you're making such a great point, because they used to try and do this thing because they were embarrassed that if they got caught, they'd get in trouble. First of all, there's no accountability, so what do they care?
Right.
But then second is, the media is just going to cover for them. They're going to push this narrative as though it's real. They're going to push this as though this is the norm and we should do this to protect democracy, et cetera, all the things they really don't care about at all. All they want is dictatorial power. So I am hoping and praying that a vast majority of the American people see this for what it is, which is a continuation of attacks on a man they never thought was going to win in 2016. They hated while he was in the White House, and they want him so desperately to not step foot back in that building that they'll do anything they can. They'll ruin their reputations. They'll grasp on to legal theories that were designed after the Civil War to prevent real insurrections. So they don't care. It's all about gaining and maintaining political power. So
it is. And you know, I didn't come up with this myself, but we've often heard about how one of Trump's special abilities is the way that when he is attacked by his political enemies, he has a way of making his supporters feel as though they're also being attacked, right? That's one of his great political skills. In this case, this actually is, if you think about it, a direct attack on the people who support Donald Trump, because if you take him off the ballot, you have attacked them. by removing their favored choice. And I, again, we're talking about more than half the Republican Party. And Hogan, you mentioned the media. The way the media is covering this right now, this 14th Amendment gambit, this bogus idea that you can somehow kick Donald Trump off the ballot, they're covering it like it's a fascinating constitutional and legal, it's a discussion. Yeah. Listen, it's a very, like, it's an academic proposition. Like, could this be done? And let's see. Listen to all these legal scholars. And I mean, like it's some sort of fascinating discussion. Like, they're in some Ivy League classroom having a discussion over someone's thesis, right? This is a lot more important than a bunch of pointy head idiots sitting around scratching their hair saying, gosh, could this actually occur? Would this be constitutional? It's amazing.
It's going to be like Obama when he said, you can't just let people, you can't just make all of these people citizens. You can't just, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. And then he does it. It's like the Biden administration, you can't just forgive student loan debt. Someone's got to pay for whatever. And then he does it. It's like they try to figure out, is there some kind of way? And if not, I'll just do it anyway. I think that's what's going to happen here. I think there are going to be some states who go, and they'll make their case and they'll go, like Kaylin said, whatever, I'm just going to do it. And then they'll do
it. Yeah, they're all about letting felons never lose the right to vote, letting felons vote from prison. They're all about that, right? Having people participate in the process no matter what crimes they have committed against society. But now here you have Donald Trump, who has not been even accused of insurrection by any of these prosecutors. And believe me, that with all the charges that they've managed to pile up against them,
they got some chances.
They had a few chances to throw insurrection onto the pile, and they did not. And so they're going to disqualify that guy from being on the ballot, but let murderers in prison go ahead and vote. It makes no sense, no logical sense whatsoever.
Well, what's also hysterical is like how hard they're trying to put Donald Trump in prison, right?
Yeah. Why can't he run for? It's crazy.
Right, but if you go steal a bunch of Gucci bags or Louis Vuitton bags, or go into have a flash mob at Target, if you burn down the country for 2 years in federal buildings and beat up cops, hey, look. You're just a troubled youth.
Yeah. And then you'll have the vice president, or at least when she was a candidate, raise money for bail to get him out of jail.
Right.
Well, what I'll never understand is the argument that you can't vote for this guy because, we've deemed him a criminal. Like, I'll never understand that argument because it's akin to saying like, no, Nelson Mandela, awful guy. don't pay attention to that guy. There's no way. It's kind of, people are going to laugh at something like that, but I mean, it's kind of the argument you're making, right? Like, oh, this guy who espouses all of X, Y, or Z.
No one's going to laugh at that, Kaylin. No. They're going to be like, how dare Kaylin say
well,
something
like that. This, I will say that this 14th Amendment has, the 14th Amendment deal has got some support from a significant thinker in our time, which makes me worry a little bit. That great constitutional scholar, Keith Olbermann, is behind it. I know.
It's bad news.
Over.
So
game's about to break.
Yeah. In other law enforcement news, word from the Department of Justice is that our good pal Hunter Biden might in fact be indicted on that gun charge after his plea deal fell apart. And I have some particular thoughts on this, but what do you guys think about the idea that the gun charge anyway, might be resurrected? Kaylin, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this being a Biden for so long has felt kind of like the Bo Jackson cheat code, the Bo Jackson, cheat code, right? And someone's finally, it's just going to take us taking a hammer to the arcade cabinet to put a stop to it. I'll believe it when I see it. Ultimately, at the end of the day, this guy has gone away with everything. We've all seen way too much of this guy. And yet he still just walks around, hanging out of the White House. He's doing coke in the library. Like he's living the dream. If your dream is to be a, demented son of a president.
Which one is demented?
You can get away with it, and it's going to be terrible.
If what I don't want to hear in this upcoming election from the left, it's off the table now. They don't have any leg to stand on to argue white privilege paying your fair share or gun control. You don't. It's gone now. So just, you know, let's retool our strategy and make it all about abortion, I guess. But nonetheless, I don't think this Hunter Biden thing is going to do anything but help, Joe. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm very cynical on this point.
Yeah,
they're going to put him up and they're going to argue this. And I was talking on another show earlier today and I said, isn't this going to hurt Joe? It's going to be during the election. No. Because this is going to give Joe Biden the opportunity to say, look, he's my son. He had some problems. He was struggling with addiction like so many Americans out there. And we stood by our family just like you stand by your family. And the press is going to be like, oh, my gosh, look at how wonderful Joe Biden. What a wonderful dad. Now, at the same time, they're going to tell you he's the most loving, caring, involved parent in the history of the world. They're also going to say he had no idea about any of Hunter Biden's business deals whatsoever. So it's a total scam. Right on its face, right?
That's right.
But I think they're setting up a dynamic in which Hunter is going to be on trial. They're going to scapegoat him as an awful human being like he is. They're going to show the videos. They're going to show pictures, guns, etc. And then Joe gets to look like the parent who stood by his family at a tough time and helped shepherd him through this. And now he's on amend. Now he's on the right track. And me and Jill, we help do it because we love our son, just like all of you out there. And the press is going to fawn all over it.
Yeah, I'm cynical about it, too, for kind of the same reason, but it's like a little parallel to your reason. I think that it goes back to the laptop. The laptop was important to me, I thought, because of what it said about Joe Biden. Not all the crazy crap that was on there, the nudie pictures and the porn stuff and the drug use and all that on the laptop. That's not what concerned me. What concerned me was how it connected all the information on there, how it connected Joe to the foreign money grab and the influence peddling schemes that Hunter was the bag man for. It was that it led to Joe Biden. That's why it was important. This gun charge, for the longest time, it was the first gun crime that liberals did not have a problem with. But I think if they indict and convict him on this gun charge, it will give them cover. It's a distraction. It will give them cover and they could say, well, there you go. See that? We came down hard on the president's son and we did it right. No one is above the law. But that's not the crime that I would be concerned about. Sure, it's a crime. Prosecute him if he's guilty of that. What I'm more concerned about is that the tracks that lead to Joe Biden and Burisma and influence peddling and squeezing the prosecutor out of the investigator out of Ukraine and all of that stuff. If they convict him on the gun charge, they can say, there you go, we did it, and never pursue any of the other things. And that would be their excuse. Hey, we already got him. What do you want us to do, the poor guy? And they will drop it, and we'll never hear another word about the influence peddling scheme. This is a shiny object that they're trying to dangle in front of everybody to say, look, we got him, and then they'll forget about everything else. That's what I suspect is what's happening.
Either way, question to the group here. Does he see any time at all?
I don't know. Who knows how this ends up? They'll be back together in a room somewhere hammering out another plea, I would think.
I'll tell you with 100% certainty, Joe Biden will absolutely make up a story about being in jail or having a gun.
Right. When he got arrested trying to visit Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela, yeah.
Exactly.
His million miles on his Amtrak, his whatever the license is.
Listen, Jack.
The 18-wheeler.
Listen, Jack, okay, look, I got a mugshot with fighting corn pop, and it's much cooler than Donald Trump's. That's what it'll be like.
Yeah, they didn't. Their records weren't electronic at that time. We don't
know. I don't want to take us askew here, but where are all the fact checkers on that, by the way? Where are the Daniel Dales and who's that clown from the Washington Post?
They did. What's his name? Glenn.
He just got
Tesla or whatever.
He did do one.
Let me see if I can find it here. You guys talk amongst yourselves, and I'll see if I can.
One of my favorite.
One they asked about the host asked the fact checker from the Washington Post about the text message from Joe Biden where he said
that was Hunter Phil
Biden, where he said, who was it?
That was Philip Bump on a
Philip Bump. Yes.
Oh, like, yeah.
What does that mean? And Bump's like, I don't know. I don't know what it means. Oh, you're for circumstantial evidence. I'm not. I'm for real. What? Mm. That's real evidence. He literally said he paid. So only three things. Right. I guess he could be lying about it.
He doesn't want to know.
Exaggerating it. He could have been high, right? Or it could have been out and out falsehood. But either way, it's still evidence, and you don't even ask the question.
So right. That's why a lot of these media outlets, well, they always said, like when Tony Bobulinski came forward to say what he said, they said, well, none of his information is corroborated by anybody. No, he is the corroboration.
Yeah, he was there.
The laptop is the original source, and Tony Bobulinski can say, yeah, I was there. I was at the table. All this really
happened. He is the
corroborator. Wait a minute. There's no corroboration. He stated right there. There's your corroboration. So here you go. Glenn Kessler, August 31st, so 8 days ago. But the headline is he's fact-checking the story, and the impetus of it really, I think, is the story he told about how his Corvette almost burned up in his house fire when he was out in Maui. He told that story again, you know, because lightning struck and he had a small kitchen fire for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's telling the people of Hawaii, I know exactly what you're feeling. Yeah. Right.
Well, I've got a really good 20.
The headline of this piece is so soft. Listen to this headline. Biden loves to retell certain stories. Some aren't credible. That's it. The guy's been telling outrageous lies about his life story for decades. And this is the treatment he gets from the Washington. And yet again, and just like they're going to do with Hunter Biden and this gun conviction, if that happens, they can point to it and say, oh, yeah, we criticized him one time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, bro, in 2016, I'll never forget. It was the day before a debate with Hillary Clinton. And we get with like 12 hours notice this inquiry from Politico. It's like everything Donald Trump has ever said, and they're fact checking it. Things like, and so I, being a smart ass, was responding with things like, you know, the question was like, here, Donald Trump says that he's a superior athlete, but we can't find any shred of evidence of him ever playing a sport. And so I think I responded with like, a simple Google search will show you this. And it's a clip of him like WWE, like hitting someone with a chair in the back of the head. But like, those are the kind of inquiries that people don't understand. This is like this stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Like are the kind of stupid inquiries we would get for how many years?
Oh, did you ever get an email from the New Yorker with their fact checkers? Oh my God.
It's always nonsense.
But oh my God. It's like 75 or 80 questions of different things. I'm like, are you insane?
Well, we had Clemson to the White House. And remember, he had the stack of hamburgers. And he said something like,
oh, yeah,
we have so many hamburgers, it'd stack up to like space.
To the moon.
And they literally did a fact check. They're like, whether in the box or not in a box, there is no way these hamburgers would reach the moon.
They actually do. See, they fact check jokes. And
you're like, what? I was like, And that's where we got the cheese for the cheeseburgers. We got to the moon because it's made of cheese. And then we sliced it.
I see.
That would have been a better response.
I would give them points if they were fact checking it like tongue in cheek, like making a joke out of the thing. But they weren't. They weren't. Yeah. They were being serious. Like, even if you had 5,000 cheeseburgers, it would only be 100 yards, which is far short of the moon.
Yes. But,
come on, man. Honest to God. At your University of Missouri journalism school, did they remove your sense of humor? Honest to God.
It's bad.
It is bad. So speaking of humor and jokes and stuff, to lead into this, the president is back to telling jokes. Did you guys know that it's okay to tell jokes about COVID and mask wearing now?
The joke is COVID.
Oh. So the first lady, Jill Biden, has tested positive for COVID. And that means because Joe has been exposed to her and has been around her, he's supposed to be wearing a mask, the White House said, right? When he's indoors, he's going to be wearing a mask. but then they had this event, which was embarrassing in itself, a Medal of Honor event where Biden got like right up next to the guy he's presenting the Medal of Honor to, right around his neck from behind, you know, doing it, draping the medal around his, Hogan, you've probably been to these ceremonies.
Many times.
And then the ceremony was still going on and Biden just walks out. Like they hadn't done the invocation or the prayer at the end yet. And he just split and people are watching him walk out. He walks like right through the crowd to get out of the room. You've probably seen the video. And so the next day, Karine Jean-Pierre was asked to explain why did the president, you know, beat feet on that thing. And so I'm going to play a clip here. Here is the White House press secretary explaining why President Biden left the room before the ceremony was over, and he wasn't wearing a mask, by the way. And then right after that, there's a clip of Biden going into an event at the White House later that same day, not wearing a mask and making a joke about it. Here it comes.
We planned for the president to leave when there was a pause in the program so that it would minimize him being in the room. He did just that. And so the president, in every way that we could yesterday, followed the CDC guidelines. And again, he had his mask off briefly. And then when there was a pause, he walked out.
I've been tested again today. I'm clear across the board. But they keep telling me because this has to be 10 days or something, I got to keep wearing it. But don't tell them I didn't have it on when I walked in. All right.
Okay. So here he is. He's saying that, oh, yeah, they're telling me that I'm supposed to be wearing this mask. And he walks in with an audience, not wearing a mask, and then makes a joke about it. And I hate to use this phrase, but it's true. I am old enough to remember when it was not permissible whatsoever to make jokes about mask wearing or COVID in any way, because that was a grievous offense against society, and you would absolutely, literally kill people if you made jokes about it. What's your whole reaction to this craziness?
I'm also old enough to remember your phrase. In the White House, during the swearing in the Rose Garden, I believe, of Kavanaugh, and someone got COVID after that. And I remember CNN putting up like the map of where everyone was sitting and drawing a line from this person to this person who had COVID and this person. And they're doing all of those things. And they're saying super spreader event at the White House. At the same time, they're talking about that. They cut to the BLM march on Washington, where Al Sharpton and everyone else is standing up at a dais, tens of thousands of people, a tenth are wearing masks. And the chyron at the bottom, the little crawl across the bottom, said, White House holds super spreader event with no mask. Right. And I'm watching the same thing happen. And it was just so obvious. This was a joke. And I remember, Tim, I think you have a clip of it. Your exchange here. I hope we get to it. But I remember saying something to one of the hosts on CNN when we were arguing with them as the way we used to do. And I said, I guarantee you this whole left side of the screen where you have the death toll, that's going away after the election. How dare you? After the election, all gone.
Never
saw it again. Split screen, no nothing. Didn't see any of that. So the media just has such a thumb on the scale on so many of the things we deal with on a daily basis. This is one that is so infuriating, not just for what it did to people's businesses and livelihoods, what we did to children.
Yep.
But on a surface level, none of these people got fired in the press for what they reported incorrectly. No one at the CDC. Insane. And it's the word I think is going to be the catch word to watch out for heading into 2024. And that's the word accountability. Someone sooner or later has got to be held accountable, and who's going to be pushing for that accountability and can prove they'll do it, I think is going to have a leg up.
Yeah. And you know, you just have to laugh because like you said, it is so infuriating.
No, you don't.
You're not laughing. You'll kill someone.
No, you don't. No,
that's true. Speaking of that, this is one of my, I think I was on with Breonna Keeler on CNN, I think twice. And neither one was a lot of fun. But this is one where I was on there for a long time. It felt like 3 days I was on, but it was like 7 minutes. And President Trump had been at a rally, I think it was Tulsa, right after the Tulsa rally, the first rally back when we started trying to reopen from COVID. And he had made a joke about how, I'm telling my people, stop with the testing, because if we stop with the COVID testing, then the case numbers won't keep going up. He's making a joke, clearly, that we were leading the world in testing. And if you test more people, you will find more cases.
That's just how it is.
So he was making that joke, and Breonna Keeler was offended because at that time, anyway, when Donald Trump was president, you were not to joke about COVID. So here you go.
Well, I mean, Tim, 120,000 Americans dead and millions of Americans unemployed. I do not think that is funny. Do you think that is funny?
He was trying to illustrate the point that when you expand testing in the manner that the United States has,
you said it's a joke.
In fact, in leading the world, you can often use ironic humor.
Is it funny, Tim?
He was
dead Americans, unemployed Americans. Is that funny to you?
You can ask and re-ask the question 100 different ways. The point that the president
and you won't answer it, and there's a reason why.
I am answering it. The president was illustrating the point that American testing has expanded to such lengths that we are now detecting more positive cases. It stands to reason. It stands to reason we will have more positive cases when you do more testing. That's just a fact.
Yeah, so there's no room for humor in anything, even if you're trying to illustrate a point. But now the president can go into a room and joke about, oh, they tell me I'm supposed to wear this mask, but basically don't tell anybody.
But the Cuomos had fun with it. Don't forget that.
That killed me. The thing about that hit with Breonna Keeler was that for some reason, the Cuomo brothers Comedy Hour did not come to mind when I was talking to her, because I would have said, what about on your network, your own network, your brother, the Cuomo brothers, they yuck it up all the damn time. And for some reason, that didn't pop into my head. But I was ready. The next time I was on with Chris Cuomo, I was ready with that one.
We know. That was an epic one.
Don't swing and miss twice. So, Kaylin, there's some school districts here and there. Some kids, some third graders here and there have, you know, a couple of cases in a class, and they're shutting down schools, closing the schools again. Is anybody going to stand for this? What will happen this time around?
Well, I think, you know, the best thing that those kids can do, and this goes for anyone with COVID, is you need to go to bed and you need to pray really, really hard that you wake up a Biden the next morning. because not to go back to, you know, my earlier analogy.
That if you are, he lets you use his last name, which he did not do for his grandchild in Arkansas. But go ahead.
That's good. No, to bring it back. So I'm going to go ahead and present another analogy similar to mine from earlier, the Tecmo Bowl one. Dr. Jill is Dr. Mm-hmm. J, and she's trying to use the corner three glitch from famous video game Double Dribble.
That's Double Dribble.
The equivalent of what they've got going on here on this issue as well. I don't think anyone's complying with this garbage, man. I mean, it boils down to the left thinking you are so dumb, thinking so little of you that you're just going to comply with something that doesn't equate, it doesn't corroborate what's happening in front of your own very eyes. This has been the pillar of their platform since Joe Biden took office, whether it's gas prices. You're not paying more at the pump. That's stupid. You're stupid, man. Look over there. Like, that is what they're doing, like, with everything. Oh, no. That cocaine, no, you're stupid, man. That just happened to magically show up. Sometimes cocaine just shows up in the White House.
Inflation's not high. Oh, it's high, but it's good for you. It's transitory, whatever. It's all fine.
Shut up and hear inflation. Like, that's not how that works. It's just not. And they've got the cheat code for all, because what we've done is we've let them set the parameters of the game that we're playing, right? And this has happened since, you know, the dawn of social media. I always like to talk about, you know, we're at the beginning of like the AI movement. Conservatives are scared about it, and we're scared to be a part of the conversation. And you look back at like big tech and social media and news media and all that stuff, we weren't at the freaking table. And we said, oh my goodness, they'll never do anything bad with all this power we're relinquishing. Mm-hmm. Why would they ever do that? They don't stand to gain. And sure enough, here's where we are, right? We let them set the rules of the game. We're playing by the rules. Can't keep doing that.
And I say it all the time, Kellen, you're absolutely right, is that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And that's been the big problem is that we don't show up for the table. But I want to hit on this Fauci thing for a minute and the masks you're just talking about, Tim. So a couple angles with this that are infuriating. What Dr. Fauci and the experts did to the reputation of the medical community. I mean, like, it's the most epic cry wolf in history. So if something bad does happen, we'll all die in like a week because we're all going to be like, no, we're not falling for this scam again, right? But in addition to that,
can I say this is the same conversation that I have with my 5-year-old son all the time. where if you get upset about the little things, I'm never going to know what's the big thing.
You know? Right, right. Same deal. And
same thing.
I was watching Fauci when he was doing his whole thing on the some show the other day, and he was talking about masks, whatever. I don't do a good Fauci.
Was that your word, mask?
No, I work with the guy so closely in the White House, and it was just so infuriating to watch him. And I'm thinking to myself, because often the left will say, well, why didn't you fire him? Why didn't Trump fire him? The real question is, why don't you fire him? We had an unforeseen, unprecedented global pandemic that came straight out of China. Every day there was a story in the paper that we were going to fire him and it was going to be chaos and we didn't believe the science and we were denying all this.
Science.
Now you have all the information, all the data, and you still put this clown on television telling you to mask up. It's like you still put Adam Schiff on your air when he said he had stone cold evidence for Russia. Like, when is anyone going to fail downward in Washington, D.C.? This guy,
if you're on the left,
has ruined so many lives, and he still has credence and credibility to go on a national news network and say, hey, look, COVID's coming back. First of all, it never left. It's a virus. But second of all, and we're just going to have to mask up again, guys. I saw some idiot on CNN, some doctor the other day say, the new vaccines are coming out. You have to give them to six-month-old infants.
Yeah, no.
What kind of insanity is that?
I one day we'll find a topic that gets Hogan worked up.
I'm sorry, man. That guy lied to so many. I mean, he ruined.
Oh, I know. And you were there for a lot.
He is the science. He is science.
That's true. He is the science.
But remember early on with the masks, I don't think we've talked about this, but he told people don't wear them because they're not going to be effective.
Right.
And he later said, he explained, so you have to decide which time was he lying, at which time did he not know what he was talking about, just saying whatever came out the front of his head. He later said, I said that thing about masks not being effective because I thought people would go out and buy too many and there wouldn't be enough for the frontline health workers. He lied to the country saying masks aren't effective so that the doctors could get them. And then said, well, that's why. So this is the guy that they want to hang their hat on still.
Every question should have started with, now, Dr. Fauci, we understand you lied about the masks at the outset.
Clearly lied about gain of function.
We also know why you lied, because you wanted the doctors to have them, the frontline medical workers to have them. So I have to ask you, when you're coming on the show and talking about X subject, are you lying to protect anybody? Right. I mean, that should be the premise of every question, because he admitted he lied to everybody.
Right. If he says this won't work or that won't work, if this treatment will or won't work, or if this activity will or won't work, what is it? Who is it you're trying to protect? Are you lying about that to protect someone else down the stream? The stream.
Unreal.
We also know he lied about funding gain of function research.
Yes, that too.
You know, and we also know that he helped the Chinese and the World Health Organization and everybody else involved steer the conversation away from the lab leak, because that would make his pals in the Wuhan laboratory look bad, and he couldn't have that. He was trying to help them out. I mean, the guy is just as dishonest. It's so perfect that the leftist media has selected him as a hero. It's so perfect because he's so obviously phony, phony and dishonest.
I love that. Cause that's the votive candles. I mean, the prayer candles. The Fauci liquor drink you could buy in DC.
You guys are making me so sick. You're attacking the patron saint of science. This makes me ill. We're tempting fate.
Right. He did say, I represent science. They're
and
attacking me.
Something
because
that
I
makes you
science.
Probably, of all the things we've talked about, Tim, the thing that hurts your heart most, the thing that should make you the most angry, was his first pitch, his throwout pitch game.
That was the worst. Yeah,
didn't find the plate. The strike zone didn't find the stadium. He threw it in the dugout, I think.
Yep, he had as bad a first pitch at the Nats game as any teenage girl Disney actress. You know, anybody or like a child actor or somebody going out there. You know.
Well, that being said, next week, just so our listeners out there, our guest will be Dr. Fauci. We're going to have him on to talk about
I look forward to
the upcoming
I doubt I somehow.
It would be me in a white lab coat, but okay.
I somehow doubt that he would agree. Jeez. All right, let's move on from that. I don't know if Hogan's blood pressure can take it anymore. There's one more story that Kalen wanted to talk about, and it's Breitbart reporting. The headline is Chinese investor money used in EB-5 visa scheme to purchase iconic Texas state park. Kalen, what interests you about the story other than the fact that it's the communist Chinese trying to buy up more land in America?
All right. One, you know, I hate the CCP. We're going to take them down one day. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. You know me, I hate the CCP. But no, I discovered this story looking at what was going on in the state of Texas during all this Ken Paxton impeachment nonsense. Have you seen this? And basically, like, the entire state legislature is fighting with each other about impeaching Attorney General Ken Paxton with like, the Chinese are just down the street buying up all their stuff.
Like, you're suggesting that maybe they have more important things to go look at.
Right. And the governor, so like in the state of Texas, the governor is essentially, he's just a figurehead, right? You just sign stuff and
governor of Texas attention. Does not have much power. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the rules. Where the hell is he on this? Like, there's just like Chinese, like the Chinese just walking in and buying all your stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Like, and if this is like the precedent being set by Republican governors, this is what's scary, right? You take a look at the list of states that have Republican governors, and not a lot of them are doing very much. There are a few that are doing a lot, but a lot of these guys are just kind of sitting on their laurels and building up their own, war chest for re-election and so on and so forth. They're coming along, getting along. But there's like real crap happening. So, like, you know, the reason I sent this to you is like everyone's got to wake up, man.
Yeah. Wake up. So let me read a paragraph here from the story.
Yeah.
It's Fairfield Lake State Park. It's a park centrally located between Dallas, Austin, and Houston, which is known for its scenic vistas as well as its hiking, camping, and world-class bass fishing, was recently purchased by a private developer, Todd Interests, in June 2023. That sounds fine. But in order to purchase that, they used a loan from a regional business center that specializes in Chinese investors using a special EB-5 visa program. Evidently, the Chinese own this large state park right in between Dallas, Austin, and Houston. That's great.
Yeah, really, really awesome stuff. They, the enemy, being, you know, not just China, but all the guys who, you know, want to topple what we built here, they know our rules better than we do. And they've created systems by which they gain the rules and their advantage. And that's this. And you know, you would take a look at, you know, the large picture, what's going on broadly across the globe. You know, we spend a lot of time fighting each other on dumb stuff when these guys are kind of stirring it up in their advantage. So
yeah,
it just kind of, that's like, that really drives me nuts. It drives me nuts when you see like Biden do dumb crap. And, you know, someone in like freaking the Ukraine or Russia is laughing their ass off that this guy can't get up a flight of stairs. You know what I mean? It's just got to put everything into context.
Yep. Well, guys, I think it's been a lively conversation. Hogan, have you recovered from our Anthony Fauci discussion?
A little
or
bit.
Maybe you never
every
will.
Time I see him, because I just thought, I just remember so much of that guy in the, and I'll just tell you, can I tell you one quick story?
Yeah, go ahead.
We were in the Situation Room, and Fauci's telling everyone how you don't need to wear a mask unless you want to protect someone else, right? If you have it.
So the mask won't protect you.
So no one needs to wear a mask unless you have it, so you're protecting someone else. Hmm. And then he goes, but also a lot of the people who have it are asymptomatic. And I was like, so they don't know they have it. He goes, no. And I went, then don't you think everyone's going to want to wear a mask if you tell them it's asymptomatic? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're not listening. He's like, if you have it, then you should wear a mask to prevent someone else from getting it. And I'm like, but you just told me you're not going to know you have it because the symptoms aren't bad for everybody. Yeah. And I'm like,
Well, then you're telling people you might have it even if you don't feel like it and you're asymptomatic. So maybe you ought to think about wearing a mask
just
anyway.
Mask up, you know, trying to protect just that kind of
it's
stuff.
All,
just
it's all very
15 days slowing the spread.
Slow spread. We're in year
how many
four
days?
Of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had COVID 2 weeks ago, and it, I mean, it's no joke. So I'm not saying get vaccinated, but I'm saying go get you some ivermectin and stuff. It knocked me in my butt. It was bad.
Get some of that horse dewormer quick.
All right, guys. Well, so I think that's funny. It's been a good show.
Start calling Caleb Prickly Pete.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I don't want to know what's
behind it. What do you like? Now, that was a horse name from Seinfeld. I was trying to think of a
reference. Yes, we call him the Ass Man. Hey, it's the Ass Man. All right.
That's a different
one. All right, guys. Hogan Gidley, Kalen Dorr, and I'm Tim Murtaugh. Thanks for joining us. Sonny Nelson will be back at some point because this is the Line Drive Podcast.